The Baptism of Regeneration. In this booklet we will learn about the term known as the Baptism of Regeneration, more widely known in terms of the phrase to be born again. Strangely enough, although every Christian has been through this experience, many have no real concept of what happened to them spiritually when they were saved. Let's begin by turning to Titus 3:5, where it states, Titus 3:5, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, through the washing of regeneration, and renewing by the Holy Spirit." Note particularly the underlined portion of this verse, "the washing of regeneration, and renewing by the Holy Spirit," because this is a key to understanding our baptism of regeneration. As we know, the key to entering God's kingdom is to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, according to Romans 10:9-10. Romans 10:9, "That if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord, that he is your Lord, and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved." Romans 10:10, "For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, right standing with God, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, action with your faith." Romans 10:13, "For whosoever, anyone who, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, delivered from the authority of death." Through this action, we become righteous children of God, and citizens of the household of God. It is important, however, to understand something of the nature of the process by which salvation takes place, for as we grow in understanding, we can also grow in faith. How are we saved spiritually? Titus 3:5 tells us. Titus 3:5, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration, and renewing of, by, the Holy Spirit." The washing of regeneration, and renewing of the Holy Spirit. How does the washing of regeneration, and renewing of the Holy Spirit occur? Mark 16:15-16 tells us how this happens. Mark 16:15, "And he said unto them, Go into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature, person." Mark 16:16, "He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who believes not shall be damned, condemned." 1 Corinthians 12:13, "For by one Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond, a slave, or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." The washing of regeneration, and renewing of the Holy Spirit in Titus 3:5 is referring to being saved or regenerated, or as 1 Corinthians 12:13 tells us, being baptized spiritually into the body of Christ. This verse, 1 Corinthians 12:13, also tells us that it is the Holy Spirit who baptizes us into the body of Christ, which is the corporate, united, body of all true believers. The word regeneration in this context means spiritual rebirth. We will now use Titus 3:5 as our reference. Titus 3:5, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration, and renewing of, by, the Holy Spirit." So regeneration equals spiritual rebirth. And? To be spiritually reborn equals to be born again. What does to be born again exactly mean? Let's look at the term born again as it occurs in John 3:3. John 3:3, "Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God." The term born again in the original Greek English translation is born from above, which means restored or made anew. Thus the born again experience is also known as the new birth. To be born again also means to be delivered out of or to be brought forth. 1 Peter 1:3 tells us. 1 Peter 1:3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again, has regenerated us, unto a lively, living, hope by, through, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Begotten us again? According to God's mercy, through Jesus Christ, we have been begotten. By whom have we been begotten? We have been begotten by God, through Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. So has begotten is speaking about regeneration. The dictionary meaning of regenerate is to create anew, to cause to be morally or spiritually renewed, to restore to a better state or previous condition. Many people have not heard the word regenerated used much in this context. They have probably known of the word, but have not understood what it means in a spiritual sense. Also, many Christians have not yet fully grasped what to be born again really means. For clarification purposes, we could use instead of the words born again, the word restored. The word restored is a much easier term to understand, especially when we are speaking to non-Christians. In this context, if you used the words born again, many would say to you, "What do you mean? I don't understand what you are talking about." But if you said to them, "God can restore you in a spiritual sense, back to the original position which mankind had with him before Adam was sent out of the Garden of Eden," they would have a better chance of understanding it logically. We should always speak to people about spiritual things according to the level of their understanding, yet without compromising God's truths. This is because if people's minds have not yet been spiritually renewed with God's word, they may only be able to understand on a natural level, as 1 Corinthians 2:14 tells us. 1 Corinthians 2:14 "But the natural man, unsaved man, receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned, understood." Note, of course, if you are led by the Holy Spirit to speak about something in real spiritual terms, then trust the Lord and believe for the anointing to do the work. Be careful, however, in these areas, for trying to impart spiritual knowledge to the unlearned will usually create problems for both them and you alike, Matthew 7:6. "In all things, preacher and layman alike, let the Spirit lead you in your witnessing and in your declaration of the truths of the Word of God." As Christians, we should know God's Word, for by it we gain understanding of spiritual matters. It is spiritual life to all who have an ear to hear, and a heart which desires the truth, for man does not live on bread alone, but by every word which proceeds from God, Matthew 4:4. We need to remember, however, that we cannot understand God or His Word on a spiritual level through our intellect. He and His Word can only be understood by revelation, and this revelation comes through the Holy Spirit. It has been said that only the heart of the believer can, with God's grace, understand faith. Baptism into the body of Christ. The Scriptures tell us. Mark 16:16 "He who believes and is, being, baptized shall be saved, but he who believes not shall be damned." 1 Corinthians 12:13 "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." Linking these two scriptures gives us a better understanding of Mark 16:16. "He who believes and being baptized into the body of Christ shall be saved." As we have learned, when we are saved, regenerated, we are baptized, in a spiritual sense, into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. How does this happen? On our heart confession of Jesus' Lordship, we give the Holy Spirit permission to cleanse our spirit and surround it with His saving presence, energizing it to life. Without this energizing or empowering, our spirit would remain spiritually dead, as Romans 3:23 tells us. Romans 3:23 "For all have sinned, all are born in a state of sin, also called spiritual death, and are sinners, and come, fall, short of the glory of God, are deprived of God's saving presence." Let's look at 1 Corinthians 6:11. 1 Corinthians 6:11. "But you, through the baptism of regeneration, are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God." But you are washed, cleansed, but you are sanctified, set apart. But you are justified, made just, as if you had never sinned. The key word we will look at here is washed. But you are washed means you have been baptized. So washed equals baptized. In other words, when we are baptized into the body of Christ, our spirit is cleansed of all sin by the Holy Spirit. Then indeed our spirit is washed, sanctified and justified, and is surrounded by God's saving presence. Therefore, when the true light enters and encompasses a person's spirit, the darkness which is within it and surrounding it must leave. God's saving presence surrounding a person's spirit is thus the signature of God's ownership, for that person has been taken out of the kingdom of darkness and placed into the kingdom of light. We need to realize that it is Jesus' shed blood which is the legal agent by which all this takes place. In this, Christ's righteousness is imputed to all who believe and accept Jesus as Lord. Revelation 1:5 tells us. Revelation 1:5 And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto him who loved us, and freed us from our sins in, by, his own, shed, blood. It is only through Jesus' shed blood that we can be saved and delivered from death's dominion. Our identification with Christ. When we accept Jesus as Lord, we enter legally into his death. When we accept that Christ's blood paid the price for our sins, we enter into his death and then into his resurrection. Indeed, something must die first in order to be raised to newness of life. So the death of Jesus as well as his resurrection is imputed, or accounted, in a legal sense to us. Thus Romans 6.6 speaks of the baptism of regeneration as also being a baptism into death. Romans 6.3 Know you not, that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, plainly says that this baptism is into Christ and not water, 1 Corinthians 1.17, 12.13, Galatians 3.27, Ephesians 4.5, Colossians 2.11-13, were baptized into his death. When Christ died on the cross, in the mind of God, we died with him, in other words, he became our substitute, and our identification with him in his death gives us all the benefits for which he died. The idea is that he did it all for us, E.S.B. Romans 6. For therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. Not only did we die with him, but we were buried with him as well, which means that all the sin and transgression of the past were buried. When they put him in the tomb, they put all of our sins into that tomb as well, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We died with him, we were buried with him, and his resurrection was our resurrection to a newness of life. E.S.B. Romans 6:5 For if we have been planted together with Christ in the likeness of his death, Paul proclaims the cross as the instrument through which all blessings come. Consequently, the cross must ever be the object of our faith, which gives the Holy Spirit latitude to work within our lives. We shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. We can have the likeness of his resurrection, i.e., live this resurrection life, only as long as we understand the likeness of his death, which refers to the cross as the means by which all of this is done, E.S.B. Through his death and resurrection, Jesus legally broke the dominion which death held over mankind, and in gaining our freedom, we become identified with Christ's death and therefore his resurrection. In receiving Jesus we are also justified, which means we are declared free from the penalty of sin on the grounds that Christ has paid the price on our behalf. God has provided more than a legal pardon, however. He imputes Christ's righteousness to all who believe. Then and only then does he recognize us as being righteous. As Romans 6.4 tells us, Abraham's faith was credited, or imputed, to him as righteousness, and these words were not written for his sake only. Romans 4.24 But for us also, to whom it, righteousness, shall be imputed, if we believe on him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Romans 4:25 Who was delivered, died on the cross, for our offenses, our sins, for he had none, and was raised again for our justification. A person is thus snatched from the dominion or authority of death by receiving Jesus as Lord through repentance, and by being raised to a position of righteousness in Christ. This all happens through the baptism of regeneration, by which a person's spirit is washed clean of all sin, and therefore darkness. Acts 3:19 Repent, stop and turn around, therefore, and be converted, receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, that your sins may be blotted out, forgiven and washed away, in order that the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. In this position, that person has become a joint heir with Christ, and has entered into new life in Christ. He or she is now eligible to partake of all the privileges and benefits which this new life offers, including the energies and graces of the divine nature, newness of life, imparted through divine connection and regeneration. So spiritual death is defeated when we are adopted, spiritually, as sons of God, through our repentance and our acceptance of Jesus as Lord and Savior. John 1:12 But as many as received him, Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them who believe on his name. We are legally baptized into Christ's death so we can be raised with him into a sinless spiritual state, having newness of life. This is the only way for a person to be born from above and so become a child of the living God, a new creation in Christ, Romans 6:3-4. 2 Corinthians 5:17 Therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, old things, the old unregenerate self and everything that pertains to it, is passed away, behold, all things are become new. The old man is dead, and is left behind symbolically under the waters of baptism. The old man refers to the sin nature in the spirit, plus all the believer was before he or she was saved, being depraved, unregenerate, self-centered, self-ruled and dominated by the sin nature. The old man is dead, and the energies and graces of God's divine nature have been given to the believer to partake of, through which it is possible to live experientially in the righteousness, which has been imputed to us in a legal sense. Amen. The state of a person's spirit after regeneration. When we are regenerated, we are spiritually reunited, or reconciled, with our Heavenly Father, God. After this, there remains a baby-like spirit created in the image of God, lacking the pollution of death and darkness. At regeneration, a person's spirit will be baby-like in the sense that it has little knowledge, spiritual understanding, of God's Word. It wants to do God's will, but needs to be educated and nourished, as 1 Peter 2:2 tells us. 1 Peter 2:2 As newborn babes, desire the sincere, pure, spiritual, milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, in respect to your salvation. Only through being empowered by the divine nature can man have a holy desire to do God's will and the power to accomplish it. Maturity of the spirit man in regard to desiring God's will in any area only comes through the divine nature within. When the divine nature is enmeshed with and infuses into the human nature, the redeemed saint can develop a holy desire in any area which will continue in full force, unabated, despite negative circumstances. The regenerated spirit desires to do God's will but lacks power in itself, and will weaken and fail without the heavenly graces of the divine nature empowering man to please the Father. Unregenerated person. The presence of death, around man's spirit. Regenerated person. The presence of God, around man's spirit. Before regeneration, death surrounded your spirit, which was darkened with the pollution of sin, blocking any true light from entering and thereby keeping you trapped in a state of spiritual death. After regeneration, God's saving presence surrounds your spirit, blocking all evil from entering. Your spirit is washed clean of darkness and death, and God's saving presence protects it from evil. There is a warning given to Christians in the scriptures, however, which relates to practice of serious types of sin. If a Christian practices such sin as described in Revelation 21:8 and 1 Corinthians 6:9-10, because of the potency and gravitational pull of these kinds of sin, people who are in the kingdom of light can be translated back into the kingdom of darkness, Hebrews 3:12-14. This will take place because Christ's lordship will eventually be denied, and then their spirit will again become polluted with spiritual darkness, which causes spiritual death, for God's saving presence will no longer be in them. Thus, access to the divine nature will also be lost. To reverse this situation, repentance is needed. The person concerned can then recommit their life to Christ, and once again become regenerated. Such is the mercy and grace of God. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Do you not know that the unrighteous, all who reject God's Son, shall not inherit the kingdom of God, shall not go to heaven? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, idol worshippers, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, male prostitutes, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, homosexual offenders. 1 Corinthians 6:10. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, slanderers, nor extortioners, swindlers, shall inherit the kingdom of God. Revelation 21:8. But the fearful, cowardly, and unbelieving, and the abominable, vile, and murderers, and whoremongers, sexually immoral, and sorcerers, those who practice magic arts, and idolaters, and all liars, all this equates with the works of the flesh, Galatians 5:19-21, shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. If former Christians have practiced these types of sins, they can repent according to 1 John 1:9. Indeed, such sins can lead to separation from God's saving presence as they step out of Christ and forfeit their salvation. The word liars can also be equated with the command found in James 3:14 to lie not against the truth. This means, in this context, to deny the way of salvation, that being repentance from our sin, and the lordship of Christ. Many do this simply by being in a state of unbelief. Therefore, if people believe that their good outweighs their bad, and this entitles them to favor with God and entrance into heaven, then indeed they are self-righteous. This in itself is to lie against the truth of our sinfulness, and this will deny us God's grace, which comes only through the cross. We find this reinforced in 1 Corinthians 6:10, a scripture which refers to those who call themselves Christians but are not. It addresses former Christians who have backslidden into darkness, even though they may still go to church and call themselves Christians. Jesus said that by their fruits you shall know them, Matthew 7:20. If the fruit of someone's life is in line with these scriptures, then, as the verse says, be not deceived, they are unsaved. Man's spirit is eternal. Many people think that they receive a new spirit when they are saved. In fact, one doctrine being taught within the body of Christ is that when you are saved, your spirit dies and then is remade or recreated. Your spirit, however, is not remade. You do not have a brand new spirit as some people understand it, but rather, you have a regenerated spirit which has been restored to man's original state, that being a state of righteousness, the same as the sinless state of Adam's spirit before the fall. You will never cease to exist. Once a spirit being comes into existence, it will live forever, even after the physical body in which it is contained dies. Scripture tells us that man's spirit is eternal, so we, our real selves, will never die, Matthew 25:46. Your spirit does not die when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Rather, your spirit is washed from all sin, and energized to life. As we have learned, this happens through the Holy Spirit surrounding your spirit with His saving presence, His love. In this, your spirit is cleansed, you are restored to God and gain legal right standing with Him as a true son, Romans 8:14-17. The consequence of this is, if you, as a Christian, were to die this instant, you would go straight to heaven to be with the Lord forever. We know this because the scriptures tell us that to be absent from the body, for a Christian, is to be present with the Lord, 2 Corinthians 5:6-9. How do we begin to live in the divine nature? Background reading, Colossians 3:1-17. At regeneration, all pollution is removed from our spirit, and through divine connection, the divine nature is imparted to the believer, giving us the potential to love as God loves. We now have the ability to operate in the power of the divine nature, but we must will for this to happen. We do this by choosing to listen to and act on God's word, rather than listen and respond to the dictates of our flesh or our senses, what we see, what we hear, what we feel like, etc. It is the word of God which gives us the boundaries and principles which are to govern our lives. The flesh and the unchecked senses will not provide this light. We need to understand God's word, then we need the power to walk in the spiritual knowledge which we have gained from the Lord. To obtain this power, we must believe and reckon ourselves to be dead to the sin nature, and we must yield to the Holy Spirit in all that we do so that the divine nature will be enthroned in our hearts. The divine nature will empower us to do God's will, but only as we yield to the Holy Spirit. As we yield, His divine nature will enmesh with our human nature and we will receive the energies and graces we need to do the will of God. As we focus on the Word of God, in the power provided by the divine nature, we will come to think as God thinks, which is to have the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16. Our minds are renewed in this way through the faith God develops in us, as we cooperate with Him. What is required is our yielding and His grace. If we do not yield to the Holy Spirit, we will not gain the spiritual power we need to walk in His righteous ways. To yield and receive empowerment through the divine nature is to live in the newness of life spoken of in Romans 6:4. The potential to love as God loves was imparted to us at regeneration through divine connection. We are only able to love as God loves with His help. To obtain His help, His empowerment, we need to take advantage of the divine nature, of which we are partakers, by submitting ourselves to the Holy Spirit. Then through this empowerment we can walk in righteousness, so that henceforth we should not serve sin, Romans 6:6. To know the will of God in our hearts, we must allow the Spirit of God to speak to us and make us aware of truth, to make us aware of Him and His ways. 1 Corinthians 2:12 Now we have received, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know, understand, the things, truths, that are freely given to us of God, by allowing Him to show us His truths. 1 Corinthians 2:13 Which things also we speak, not in the words, or ways, which man's wisdom, worldly knowledge, teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, shows, comparing spiritual things, truths, with spiritual. In our position as true sons, God can truly communicate with us, if we are open and allow Him to, because the blockage of death and darkness has been removed from our spirit. The light of God expelled all darkness from our spirit when we gave Him permission to enter. In other words, God's saving presence, which is the essence of God, the love and the light of God, eradicated the darkness in which our spirit had been immersed. This darkness had blocked the Lord from fellowshipping with us in the way He desired. Even when we are saved, however, if the sin nature remains enthroned or engaged, it will block God from communicating with us in those areas it affects. The sin nature must be dethroned if we are to have any proper spiritual communion with God. As this becomes a reality, God will also be able to deposit good treasure, e.g., knowledge of God's will, truth, wisdom of God, into our hearts. Hebrews 8:10. I, God, will put my laws into their mind, and write them in their hearts. Matthew 12:35 A good man out of the good treasure of the heart brings forth good things. So because all darkness, which causes the state of sin, has been washed out of our spirit by God's presence, we now have the potential both to communicate with Him, and to allow Him to deposit good treasure into our hearts. However, even today, God can only communicate with us, as Christians and lead us, if we will to listen to Him. We also need to position ourselves or ready ourselves to hear the Lord's voice, through proper spiritual focus. To hear the voice of the Lord, to perceive the leading of the Spirit, which could come in the form of inner conviction or a knowing within, we need to be committed to renewing our minds with the Word of God with all diligence. We also need to be committed to fellowshipping with the Lord on a daily basis. To begin to be led by the Spirit of God, we must purpose, in His power, to walk in the light given, to walk in obedience to God's Word, James 1:22-25. As we yield to the Holy Spirit, the graces of His divine nature, energizing our human nature, will not only give us the desire to do God's will, these graces will empower us to do so. As we know, babies may have the potential within themselves to achieve many things when they grow up, but they must first gradually mature into adults. Children must be fed and nourished, physically, emotionally and spiritually for many years before they are ready to fend for themselves and make a success of their lives. Also, whatever is put into a child, physically and mentally, will usually play a major role in determining that child's future. As a baby needs to grow, so too does our spirit, for the same principle applies. 1 Peter 2:2 As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk, unadulterated, pure doctrines of the Word, that you may grow thereby, in your salvation. Our spirit is only baby-like to begin with, and needs to grow through receiving proper spiritual nourishment, as we see in Matthew 4:4. Matthew 4:4 But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Deuteronomy 8:3 Only by receiving the nourishment of God's Word can our spirit become educated, come to be at one with the divine nature, and therefore strong and mature enough to direct us wisely. We could also then say that the spirit man is energized as the human nature absorbs the graces and energies of God's divine nature. The primary purpose of educating our spirit is so that we may know God's will on any matter, even to know how He thinks and by what principles we are to live. All this will also help us in our relationship with the Lord, and we will be better able to communicate with Him as we, by grace, grow in knowledge, wisdom and character, as Jesus did, Luke 2:40-52. God's desire for all mankind. Background reading, John 17:6-21. God is full of love, compassion, mercy and goodness, and has proven it constantly over time. Indeed, God does not change, Malachi 3:6, James 1:17, and neither does He lie, Numbers 23:19. Jesus too is the same yesterday, today and forevermore, Hebrews 13:8. History has proven that God delivers, sets people free, and is faithful to His word. There are many doors which remain closed to God through people rejecting His truths in various areas of their lives. Usually these areas are those in which people do not want change. Thus many Christians have works of faith and love, yet block God from setting them free in particular areas of their lives. God wants to set them and other people free from every bondage, not only in the spirit, but also in the mind and the body. This is the full meaning of salvation, wholeness in spirit, soul and body. And this is what God desires for His people, wholeness in every area of their lives. John 8:31 Then said Jesus to those Jews who believed on Him, If you continue in My word, then are you My disciples indeed. John 8:32 And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 10:10 The thief comes not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. So receive the truths of God's word, and allow the light to shine on any area of darkness in your life. As Hosea 4:6 tells us. Hosea 4:6 My people, Christians today, are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Jesus came so we could have life and have it abundantly. There is therefore no reason for you to lack in any area because Jesus has paid the price for you to have total victory today, in spirit, soul and body. The price is consecration and submission to His will, His revealed word in our lives. We must seek so as to find and embrace all that He has for us to know and do. As He is given first place in our lives, then yes, we will understand fully the meaning of the scripture. Matthew 6:33 But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. May you have the victory in Christ. Amen. For further information or teaching material to help you grow in the Christian faith, please visit Crossroads International. Full Gospel Ministries. crossroadsministries.org.au